Sugatsia for my friends at Casper. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. The result? The latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation, including the new mattresses from Casper. Casper has done it again with all new mattresses. Waking up with back pain? Introducing Zone Support, Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you sleep. There's something brand new called Airscape, engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature. From bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed, Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom for every kind of sleeper. I've been sleeping on a Casper mattress for years. I swear by it. Most comfortable mattress I've ever slept on. Anytime they have new innovations, I am in on that. And as always, free shipping and free returns. And now Casper is offering free contactless delivery. And as always, free returns. Go to Casper.com. Use code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. That's code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So, Michael Jordan, blah, 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 blah. Stugatz, Michael Jordan?
Better than I remembered. The best ever. Blah, 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 blah. I want to see the rest of that list. Blah, 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 blah.
Never mind. Let's just do something else. I'm just glad that before it ended, we were able to hear from Joe Mantegna of Godfather 3.
I believe it's Mantegna.
Is it Montaigne?
Yeah.
From Godfather. I'm fine, Stugatz. After you just started, I said three times we were going around the horn on blah, blah, blahs, and you ruined it immediately.
Sorry. I wasn't here for that portion of the pre-show.
You were staring right at us. You were staring right at us.
I asked several times before the show started. Are we all just saying blah, 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 blah? No one gave me a response. Nobody.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Just sit the segment out, Stugatz. At Lebatard Show, have you ever had a bad feeling about that pizza at Lebatard Show? Because Tim Grover was playing the Nigerian vegetable vendor. If you're not familiar, Stugatz is the one we call the Nigerian vegetable vendor because a few years ago there was a Nigerian place that was selling human meat, and the guy outside who was a vegetable vendor said he knew something fishy was happening in there, although he didn't reveal to anybody that it was human meat. Now Tim Grover is telling us he knew that there was something, a bad feeling, around that pizza. I also love how they filled in at the very end. I think because that documentary was rushed at the end, because Jason Ayer has told people that he was making it as it was airing, 8, 9, and 10, as it was airing, you finally got to see Michael Jordan's children. That was direct result, I gotta think, of the criticism of where the hell's his family. And what did they say? That Utah's crowd was hostile. That's all they gave you from Michael Jordan's family life. I feel like I know Steve Kerr's family better than Michael Jordan's family. I feel like I know the security guards better than Michael Jordan's, family. They gave you only, the kids of Michael Jordan saying, that the Utah crowd was hostile. What is the matter with Stugatz, Mike? Honestly, like, how many times did I say it before we started?
We talked out what we were going to do. We were going to go around the horn with everyone saying blah, blah, blah. Honestly, it's on you for starting with Stugatz. He would have caught on if he went around the horn with someone other than him. But, I mean, you threw to first base, and it sailed.
At Lebatard Show is how you reach us on the polls. I was really surprised. The most surprising thing of the entire 10-hour documentary for me was that Michael Jordan was jamming, and he took off his headsets, and he said it was Katie Lattimore. I did not think that that's what was going to happen there. It's the most stunned that I was. I'm curious whether you think Stan Van Gundy was on with us last week and said Michael Jordan was no greater a competitor than Udonis Haslam or J.J. Redick. That obviously he's more talented than those people, but as a competitor, he didn't want it any more than those people. So I'd want you to put on the poll at Lebatard Show. Is Michael Jordan more of a competitor than Steve Kerr? Yes or no? Just curious how it is that you guys see the ceiling on how much someone wants to win. I think the most surprising thing about the last 2 hours of the Last Dance documentary was the idea in the middle of the 90s, America's most popular team, that Dennis Rodman had an unexcused absence during the finals to go wrestle. Like, that is simply flabbergasting. Like, I know Phil Jackson's going to end up getting credit for letting Dennis Rodman be Dennis Rodman. He certainly squeezed a whole lot out of Dennis Rodman. But the idea that Dennis Rodman disappeared, do you remember that, Mike? Because you still are an enormous wrestling fan. Do you remember? Because I did not remember Dennis Rodman having an unexcused absence during the finals to go partake in the NWO of Hulk Hogan.
I didn't really know that the timelines matched up that way. And I'm watching a lot of these things back, and I had no idea that the NBA Finals was going on there. I knew the Karl Malone aspect of wrestling, but I don't know if you noticed what happened on social media with Karl Malone yesterday. I learned a lot more about Karl Malone than I knew. And is he canceled now? Did we cancel the mailman? Because damn, that's intense.
Which part do you want to talk about? I mean, Kobe's wife, that situation?
No, I had no idea about the children and who he had them with and the ages of the person he impregnated in one specific example. And then I saw an article, and then I learned more about Roger Clemens as a spinoff. He just got caught up in it. And now is Roger Clemens canceled again? You know, you start poking around on some of these heroes of yesteryear, whether it be David Bowie or Prince, and just, if you like them the way that they are, don't go Googling. But, man, I learned a lot about Karl Malone.
How about Jerry Seinfeld? Jerry Seinfeld, there's an entire comedy routine by a comedian whose name I have misplaced, talking about Jerry Seinfeld as a 38-year-old taking his 17-year-old girlfriend to high school.
Ooh.
Dropping her off at classes because the legal age in New York was 17.
Yeah, but 13, though.
Yeah. I saw a good tweet from somebody saying that Michael Jordan's greatest act of social justice was not allowing Karl Malone to win a championship. They don't make players that kind of muscular anymore, do they? They don't make Karl Malone muscular is not something that
he was like meatbone butt cut. But LeBron, like, they just make them now insane ball handlers. So yeah, they do. They're just running point in the clutch situations now.
Yeah, they look a little more like.
Look,
LeBron
they didn't make
James.
Them like Giannis back then either.
We're going to talk to Bomani Jones and we're going to talk to Sarah Spain today on the show. We've got Bob Ryan as well. Going to be some basketball intensive. I got to imagine that the highlight of the entire experience for Roy was the Inside Stuff reunion. He seemed very excited about Ahmad Rashad. That was a specifically 90s wonderful television show. I don't feel like anyone got as much run off of The Last Dance other than Michael Jordan, of course, then Ahmad Rashad getting to relive his glory years, not just as a Pro Bowler when he was a football player and a really good announcer, Michael Strahan before Michael Strahan, but as the road dog and best friend of Michael Jordan. Roy, did you see any of the Inside Stuff reunion? Did you guys watch any of the Inside Stuff reunion? If you're not ready to let this go, we have on Tuesday, Stephen A. Smith is going to have yet more Michael Jordan coverage on ABC at 8 p.m. with Magic Johnson. But what did you see or not see of the Inside Stuff reunion, Roy?
I wasn't able to see the inside stuff for Union, but I wanted to. I wanted to catch up with the guys. I wanted to catch up with Willow Bay and Summer Sanders and all the guys I grew up watching on NBC. That looked like it was going to be fun, but I wasn't able to watch it, unfortunately.
Okay, so you wanted to watch it, but you didn't watch it, so you were very excited about it, but not excited enough to actually hunt it down. So clearly not that excited at all, really, because you didn't DVR it either. So you've just missed it, right? You were very excited about it, but you didn't quite get to it.
Well, it was on Facebook Live, so I couldn't DVR that, unfortunately, and I was busy.
That's the only place that it was? What are you shaking your head about, Mike?
I mean, we're not going to address how good he sounds. Come on! Yeah, 2 months and we fixed this!
Yes, we fixed the sound. We heard Roy clearly. It was an achievement of the highest order. Congratulations. The highlights of this segment was Stugatz not doing what he was told and Roy being very excited about something he didn't bother to watch.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Today on ESPN Daily, Michael Jordan's relentless drive and work ethic are constant themes in The Last Dance. Wright Thompson looks for the roots of that greatness in Jordan's family history and his upbringing. That's ESPN Daily, presented by Marathon. These days, we have to travel smart. Marathon can help by improving engine performance with quality top-tier gasoline. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast.
So Spencer Dinwiddie of the Brooklyn Nets was a source of amusement for Mike Ryan this weekend because he was having a self-auction. He tried to do a nice thing, Stugatz. He was trying to raise $24 million. $24 million, and he raised less than $1,000.
Oh.
And the second biggest donor was $69
nice.
From Nick's R Poopy Poop Butt Butt Soup.
Man. Well, just short of his goals, I mean.
Spencer Dinwiddie thought he was just circumventing the salary cap and was going to be someone that made us rethink everything we knew about free agency. Instead, Nick's poopy poop butt soup?
No, hold on a second. Let's get this right because this isn't something that we want to get wrong. Again, Spencer Dinwiddie was looking to raise $24 million, but he came up a little short by raising less than $1,000. The second biggest donor at $69 was Nick's R Poopy Poop Butt Butt Soup.
But it's Bitcoin, so that $69, while it could be nice right now, who knows? It could be worth millions in a couple of weeks because Bitcoin's obviously on an upward trajectory.
Bomani Jones is going to join us in 10 minutes because I want to talk a little bit about this laughable effort. At least it's an effort, but my God, this laughable effort to get black executives and black coaches hired by giving higher draft picks to the people who hire black executives and black coaches. And the incentive, of course, is that football values the draft picks more than the black mind and more than black leadership. The draft picks are more valuable. So we'll talk to Bomani Jones about that. But the thing I wanted to ask you, Stugatz, did you see what A-Rod did this weekend where he went on social media and just pled with the players to do what was necessary to get baseball back, because America needs healing and baseball needs to be the sport that leads them back. Did you see any of what he said?
Yeah, he said something to the effect of the players should agree, just for this season, should agree to the revenue split, he thinks, the 50-50 revenue split, and that sounds like a man who wants to be an owner. I mean, that's what it sounds like.
And a man who didn't used to be a player, and a man who made more than most people have ever made playing sports. And the reason it wasn't surprising to me, Stugat, is because I've never met an athlete, and I've known A-Rod since high school.
Right.
I have never met an athlete of his kind of excellence who was more of a zealot about wanting to be liked, who craved being liked however he could get to being liked. And the irony of that is that most people found him to be insincere or some sort of antiseptic, polished version of what you want your athletes to be, always trying to be something that you liked instead of whatever the authentic thing was inside of there. And it is so much easier to get the applause of people, Stugat, fans, with that sentiment, even if it means alienating your peers, even if it means alienating the union that got you all that money because it's so strong and there's no salary cap in your sport. He was willing to discard whatever it is that the players might feel about him advocating for a pay cut after having made all of his money. And so I wasn't surprised that that's the route that he went, but I can imagine players being all kinds of furious hearing him. I've never met an athlete of his right kind of excellence who sought the applause of public opinion more than A-Rod. And so what he did was your move of cupping a hand to his ear and just waiting for the applause to roll in on social media, because he decided to say, hey, players, let's go. We've made enough money. Get out there. America needs you. I'd be really mad at A-Rod if you couldn't play the game clean.
Right.
You made a whole lot of money not playing the game clean. And then at the end, what you're trying to do while failing to buy the Mets with J-Lo is you're talking like ownership instead of labor. I'd be an uncommon kind of furious with that as the mouthpiece on that particular sentiment.
I'm certain players are mad, Dan, but A-Rod's trying to appeal to a broader base. He's trying to appeal to the fans. He's trying to appeal to ownership. He's trying to appeal to big business. And I'm wondering if the players are used to this new A-Rod by now. It's been pretty apparent this is where he's been headed, basically since retirement. And so I wonder if they're kind of numb to it and just like, hey, this is where A-Rod's path is headed. He's headed towards ownership. He's headed towards businessmen. He doesn't care about what he did as a player and us as players. He cares about himself, his brand, his business, and he's going to say and do things that help build those things. Not us. He's going to build up himself. And so I wonder if players are kind of numb to it at this point.
Well, Jose Canseco isn't, because on Mother's Day, he wished everyone a happy Mother's Day except Alex Rodriguez. Advance Auto Parts, people. He just said it like that. I don't know what to tell you.
It's gratuitous. He's not even a mother.
that's how Jose Canseco decided to attack A-Rod. It does have to be so confusing to someone like Jose Canseco. So very confusing. Advance Auto Parts, people. Bomani Jones is going to join us in a second.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. We love sports. Sports inspire us. They give us hope in ourselves, in the world, and, of course, in amazing comebacks. Our love for sports grows each day. Dear Sports is our love letter to sports. Share your Dear Sports letter with us. Call 860-506-6161 or share a video or text using the hashtag Dear Sports on Twitter or Instagram. Here's your Sports Center update. Major League Baseball's memo on its return to play plan includes, among other things, the prohibiting of high fives, fist bumps, hugs, spitting, tobacco use, and chewing sunflower seeds. The NFL is considering improving draft pick selections in the third round for teams that hire minority candidates as head coaches or GMs. Teams also could receive compensatory picks if minority candidates remain as a head coach or GM in their third year, or if a team loses a minority candidate who becomes a head coach or GM with another team. What happened?
Compensatory what?
I said ticks. It was picks. Okay. Happens. Just move on. Sorry. And finally, South Korean soccer club FC Seoul have apologized after accidentally using sex dolls as an alternative to real fans.
It's such a good story. I've actually seen some of these games from Korea, and they've got those fake fans behind home plate, but I did not know that a South Korean soccer club was using sex dolls. I did not know that.
Well, they've apologized. If you are like me, you love a good stat, but there's one stat you probably don't know: your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
There are a lot of podcasts out there. Not many of them are different. This is a different one. The Right Time with Bomani Jones. He joins us now on ESPN Radio. So what was your reaction, Bomani? Thank you for making the time for us when you heard the NFL considering, voting on higher draft picks for teams that hire black executives or black coaches.
What a staggering indictment of the NFL. They are telling themselves we have to be bribed. That is the only way that we can do this. We have to be bribed. Can you imagine somebody coming out and just saying, like, yo, you guys seem to have a hiring, problem with diversity? Yeah, you're right. And we really can't do anything about it ourselves. So how do we bribe ourselves in order to make this happen? Like, that was the immediate thought that I had.
So what do you say to the person like me who says, yes, this is an awful idea, but at least they're aware of the problem now, and at least they're looking at ways to try after the rule named for one of the great families in football, the Rooneys, has failed to produce the desired results? It's not a good idea, but it's trying.
Well, first of all, let's call that rule what it is. It isn't the Rooney rule. It's the Cochran rule. You got this rule because Johnny Cochran was threatening to sue the NFL behind their poor coach hiring in the early part of this millennium, and then the rule came up. This did not come up because I think it's Dan Rooney. It didn't come up because Dan Rooney was like, guys, we have this giant problem, and I'm going to be the man to fix it. It came up because they were trying to stay out of court, because the last thing you wanted to do was go to court with Johnny Cochran. That don't sound like a win. We saw him win the most impossible case. That's how we wound up getting here. So if people say, well, at least they recognize that it's a problem, sort of. The key thing I think that everybody needs to understand in this is that the problem is the problem. The problem is not in the poor solutions. The problem is in the behaviors of the owners. And so every time something comes around on this, I feel like when we go through a hiring cycle and the hiring looks bad, we're like, oh man, the Rooney rule is a joke. No, the owners are a joke. And when everybody talks about this, how often do you see them directly bring it to the owners unless they want to say something like, well, at least they recognize there's a problem. Of course they recognize there's a problem. They are the problem.
Do you have anything that you've heard that represents to you something that seems like a solution?
I don't know. Like, as a solution, I'm not sure. Because I'm less concerned at this point with talking about the solution then let's actually talk about what the problem is. And that's the part that nobody wants to do. Everybody wants to talk about this in a way that doesn't involve directly hurting any particular white person's feelings, right? Because if you want to know the problem with the solution they try to come up with, it's not going to work. You think this? You think that a team is going to be like, yo, we were going to hire that white dude, except now we'll jump up 10 spots in the draft. American history is littered with white people being willing to interfere with their own bottom line in the name of not doing right by black people, right? So that these little things they talk about, they'll find a way around that one. They put in the Rooney Rule. They found a way around that one. The problem is the behaviors of the people who happen to be on top. There's no quick fix, I think, to change that part.
Well, Monty, does this somehow, I know it sounds strange because I guess they're trying, but does this feel worse because what they're telling you is a minority is worth 10 spots in the third round?
It don't feel bad to me. Nothing that is going on in this process got a damn thing to do with me, got a damn thing to do with black people. The problem that they got with hiring doesn't have a single thing to do with anything about the inadequacies of black people. The current situation, if you wanted to point to anybody's widespread inadequacy, it would have to be the inadequacy of the white power structure to do something that will help them. Like, what I think gets lost in this also is the fact that if you improve your hiring, the biggest winners of this will be the owners. The biggest winners will be the team. The people who are hiring better people, the people that are increasing the pool of potential labor, that only stands to benefit the teams. Now, you realize that people are basically having to come out every day and fight to look at the owners and be like, hey, why don't you do this thing that can help you out? Right? Like, that is what is here. People look at it in the context of, man, you ain't doing nothing for black people. They ain't doing nothing for themselves. And what does it mean if these teams are willing to not do right by themselves in the course of this hiring just because they want to keep hiring their buddies or whatever white dude they can find?
You have, I'm wondering when I watch this play out, Bomani, because I'm a bit stunned that this idea has seen light. Like, how does that meeting take place? Who's having the conversations where they think it's a good idea to make it this brazen where, hey, we'll give you the bribe. We'll give you the bribe if you hire somebody black.
Yeah, I do find it interesting that we don't know who came up with this, which leads me to believe that whoever leaked it is somebody who kind of wants this to fail, right? I mean, that's my thought. And it's a ridiculous idea. It should fail. But I want to know, when they put this out here, what were they going for? Who did they want to know? Like, what signal was it they were trying to give? Are they really so tone deaf that they were just throwing out a trial balloon to see maybe, just maybe, how this will work? Because who this one, as an idea, really ain't going to work for is the average white person that hates the idea of anybody doing anything for black people. Right? Like, as much as people are like, yo, if I was black, I would be insulted. Then you got the other people that are like, oh, so you're just going to make it easy to give them a job. And it's like, damn, you see how hard it is as it stands? You know, but at least the NFL on some level is saying, we recognize our playing field is not level. But nobody is stepping up to say, and we are responsible for that, right? Like, people just act like we just magically wound up in this place, and they're like, damn, I don't know what we're going to do about this. Like, it's hot in here. We need to put in an air conditioner. You're the one that's making it hot. Nobody wants to point at the owners and say, you are the problem.
As someone who collects sneakers, like sneakers, do you understand a pair of game-used, signed Air Jordan 1s going for $560,000 in an auction this weekend, according to Darren Rebell?
I understand it if I understand how rich the person is who purchased them, right? Like, I feel like if you had the point where you're paying 500 G's for a pair of shoes, this is just, you are just at the point in your life where you are just getting all the things that you actually want, right? Like, money is no object. You ain't check your checking account. You don't know what a gallon of milk costs. Hell, you don't even know what a Lexus costs, right? Like, that's the only way that you're going to get to a place to me where you're like, yeah, I put $560,000 on some shoes I can't wear, right? Like, what about you just put them on the wall? That's it.
I am not one to talk because I drive a car emblazoned with my brother's art. But if you were worried about your privacy and bothered by the number of people on you, would you drive a Porsche with a license plate that read Air on it?
Yep. Have you noticed, though, that every single one of his license plates was a dead giveaway that it was Michael Jordan? Right? Like, he's got ones with his initials, ones with his numbers, ones with his wife's name, or his wife's initials. And his initial at every turn, like, that to me is just speaks to a completely different era, that you're Michael Jordan and you would be out and have people know that you are Michael Jordan. The part that's really surprising, though, is that he even drives a car at all. Like, if I'm not mistaken, LeBron didn't drive anywhere. because of the liability issue, right? Like, it actually speaks to a much more innocent time where the biggest star in the world could just be pushing down the Dan Ryan and everybody knows that the car is his. He snapped out of that, though, I think, though, because he brought a he had a Ferrari in the tunnel at the Dean Dome once or something I went to, and the license plate was not the dead giveaway that they used to be.
Bomani, good talking to you. Thank you, sir, for making the time.
All right, man. Be good.
The right time with Bomani Jones is what you need to check out.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
If you missed any of our interviews, please check them out on demand in the Dan Le Batard Show podcast brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. Do you feel like you know Michael Jordan's security guards better than you know his family? Yes or no? I also felt, Stugatz, you tell me if you think I'm wrong on this. I thought, and this is a tribute, not an indictment, I thought that the makers of the Michael Jordan documentary heard some of the criticism, dropped his kids in it, even if it was just to say that Utah was really hostile, and furthermore, because they trampled posthumously Jerry Krause so strongly, I thought Scottie Pippen saying at the end Jerry Krause is one of the greatest general managers and that he respected him was inserted in there specifically because of the criticism. How can you bury this guy who is dead, already buried?
Right.
How could you bury him without rebuttal from anybody when Reinsdorf is sitting in the middle of the film and Reinsdorf is the guy who's responsible for all of that? Not Phil Jackson, not Jerry Krause. No, that team does not break up if Jerry Reinsdorf wants to keep it together. He and only he had that power. One of the things that I find interesting, Stugatz, about what aired last night is how insulting and disrespectful it is to Michael Jordan, who made you all that money, that Jerry Reinsdorf hadn't explained to him why it is all of that happened, and that he's looking at an iPad 25 years later to get the explanation on it. It is not the relationship that an owner should have with his cash cow. But this is the imbalance in sports, Stugatz. When A-Rod takes ownership side over players, it's something that the players feel. Even when you're Michael Jordan, you get run out of Washington at the end because somebody else owns the team, and you get run out of Chicago because somebody else owns the team, even when you're Michael Jordan.
I agree with you on the insertion of Jordan's kids. I remember Pippen all the way through, though, kind of praising Jerry Krause because, you know, Jerry Krause was the guy who took a chance on Scottie Pippen and probably took him a little higher than he should have and believed in Scottie Pippen. So I think Pippen is coming at Jerry Krause from a completely and entirely different angle than Michael Jordan and everyone else. You know, it wasn't like everyone was clamoring to get Scottie Pippen, and Jerry Krause said, no, this is the perfect guy to compliment Michael Jordan, and off they went. I do find it pretty hard to believe. And people also forget this, Dan, that with Reinsdorf, and you're right, Scottie was ready to get paid. So the notion that Jordan could just get Reinsdorf in a room with Phil, Scottie, and everyone else and convince everyone else to come back and try to win a seventh title was not that easy. Scottie Pippen was going to get paid, and I'm not certain the Bulls were going to be the ones that paid him. But he was getting paid after that.
Clearly they weren't going to be the ones that paid him. But I really do feel like Reinsdorf largely skated on that whole thing as the one with the ultimate power to keep it together. What did you make of the quote making the rounds this weekend, even though I'm not sure it's a recent quote because I've heard Michael Jordan say it, and I can't believe that he would say it at 57 years old. He says he's pretty sure that he can take all of the players on his team one-on-one, but that he wouldn't want to demolish their confidence. And, you know, Miles Bridges, who was on his team, says, let's get it then. He wants to go after a 57-year-old Michael Jordan. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Who wins between in one-on-one between Miles Bridges and a 57-year-old Michael Jordan?
Who would be the toughest matchup for him? Would it be Scary Terry, Terry Rozier? I mean,
I got to tell you,
the team got very good.
Well, this is the thing. This is the thing. To me, Michael Jordan saying that he could beat his team, everyone on his team one-on-one, is not a tribute to Michael Jordan's ability as an athlete. It is a total indictment of the team that he's put together that's something that he would actually think at 57 years old. Like, I mean, it's asinine.
He got rid of the one guy that could beat him, Kemba.
Some good Pablo Torre sound for you next.